is Jonathan Egila, and the topic of, and that is me, and the topic of his presentation is nutrient element interactions with leaf growth of collards in response to hydroponic solution composition. Collards is a popular leafy green vegetable in the southern states of the U.S. The purpose of this study is, being somebody who has a commitment to developing techniques for small-scale limited resource growers, I look at a range of growing situations. And one of the conditions that is prevalent in small-scale production is that compound fertilizers that are not formulated for hydroponic cropping are commonly used in the industry. And this use simplifies the nutrient solution formulation for crop production. However, compound fertilizers with high NPK analysis but only optimum, i.e. non-proportionally high levels of micronutrients, only supply inadequate concentrations of the latter, i.e. micronutrients for optimum plant growth when diluted for use as hydroponic nutrient solutions. So you take the commercial fertilizer and you have to dilute it to the solution standard for plant growth. And at that stage, the micronutrient concentration become extremely low. So the objective of my study is to evaluate the yield response of collards to low nutrient solution micronutrient concentrations, fertilizer formulation containing 70% arginine, which is an amino acid, organic nitrogen source, in hydroponic culture, and to compare leaf nutrient element interactions at different nutrient solution composition. Our hydroponic research is conducted in controlled environment facility in Jefferson City, Missouri. The culture involves the raising of seedlings in rock wool slabs, and those seedlings at the first true leaf stage are then transferred into hydroponic culture. The ebb and flow hydroponic system is a nutrient circulating system. So these seedlings were, in this case, were grown for 62 days in the ebb and flow, and hydroponic nutrient solution was composed of AgroComplete spruce, which is a commercial fertilizer containing 70% arginine nitrogen and 30% nitrate nitrogen, or Steiner nutrient-based nutrient solution at pH range 6.5 to 2. Fertilizer treatment comprised of AgroComplete and spruce and modified to 200 parts per million nitrogen, which is a standard concentration of nitrogen that I use for most of my experiments with leafy greens. And this was supplemented by K and calcium because the original fertilizer did not contain calcium. And the optimum micronutrient concentration involves the AgroComplete, that is AGSOM, with the recommended or manufacturer recommended dilution rate, whereas the low micronutrient contains the amount of micronutrients that I get when I dilute the compound to 200 parts per million nitrogen. With Steiner's, I use the Hoagland's nutrient solution, which is standard for most of the hydroponic research. I did not use the micronutrient for Steiner's because it is offered in ranges, and that can get confusing if you're going to research this subsequently. The fertilizer treatments are in this table. The both Agro treatments contain the same concentration of macronutrients, the only difference being the macronutrient concentration. In this case, the micronutrient concentration for the low treatment is one-tenth that of the optimum, whereas the standard nutrient solution has the Hoagland's micronutrient solution concentration as stated previously. With standards and agro complete, we had consistently higher fresh weight yield with standards, but this fresh weight yield is not significantly different from that of agro complete at optimum micronutrient solution, but at low micronutrient solution, the fresh weight was significantly reduced. Okay, with dry weight, we had lower dry matter with agro complete optimum micronutrient and slightly higher dry matter at low nutrient solution concentration. And this is why I do leaf water content. It gives me an idea of what I call succulence, which interprets to the tissue having the capacity to hold in slightly more water in relation to dry matter. And when I do dry weight ratio, it is the opposite of leaf water content. Now, those two variables were not significantly different. With macronutrients concentration, all the macronutrients were similar in tissue, within the tissue, i.e. there are no differences in macronutrient concentration, with the exception of potassium, which is significantly different from the low micronutrient treatment. Now, the concentration of these elements, the macronutrients within the tissue, was consistently within the concentration range recommended in standard production systems, with the exception of nitrogen, which is far below the recommended tissue concentration range. With micronutrients, we have consistently higher tissue micronutrient concentration at the optimum micronutrient supply level, and followed by the concentration with standards, and the low micronutrient supply treatment had the least or lowest concentration of micronutrients. But all these tissue micronutrient concentrations were significantly different. And in all cases, at the optimum level, we had significantly higher concentration than the low level. And in the case of zinc, tissue concentration was similar, as well as boron, and with all the others, the optimum micronutrient supply treatment had significantly higher concentration than both standard and the low. And with range, all the macronutrients concentrations were within the optimum range, recommended range, with the exception of iron, which falls slightly below the lowest level of the range. Now, every time I look at nutrient concentration, without the traditional correlation with yield, in the case of grain or dry matter, the interpretation stops at, okay, then why did I get this amount of growth? I can only speculate that it might be due to dilution effect or some type of indirect, growth reduction. But I begin to investigate, and I found a method that is commonly used in forestry. And this method is called a vector analysis by them. Appropriately, is vector diagnosis of plant nutrient status. So the vector nutrient diagnosis analysis is interprets the directional changes in relative dry mass, nutrient content, which is the product of nutrient concentration and dry mass, and the nutrient concentration, the traditional nutrient concentration within the tissue of plants or plant tissue components, and in contrast to growth. Now, the reference status is usually the control that you choose normalized to 100, so it becomes an index. So the dotted diagonal lines that you see are actually the biomass that is being compared, and vector shifts. These are vectors. The arrows are vector shifts. Vector shifts A to G indicate increase, in this case positive dry matter, positive concentration, and it could be also positive dry matter content, or negative, or zero, wherever there is no change. For example, A represents a negative nutrient concentration but positive nutrient content. B represents no change, which is zero change in nutrient concentration and zero change in growth, but increase in nutrient content, and so on. So vector length, then, the length of the vector actually represents the magnitude of the responsiveness of the treatment, but individual treatments. Now, it will look confusing to somebody who have never actually looked at this before, but this nomogram corresponds to our traditional growth response curve that we get with nutrients. So we have a region of deficiency, and then we have a region of sufficiency, and after, between the sufficiency level and the level where we have toxicity, we have luxury consumption. And these correspond to these various vectors that we are looking at. And looking at A, for example, we have positive dry matter accumulation, a decreased concentration, and increased content. And that being interpreted as a dilution effect, and is the nutrient concentration in tissue then is not non-limiting. Now, we've talked about B before, which is no change in either concentration or growth, but there is increase in content. And then with C, when you have dilution over time and there is no increase in supply or supplementation of nutrition, then you get into a situation of deficiency. And with deficiency, you're talking about nutrients availability within the tissue limiting growth. And then we get to D, where the growth, there's no change in growth, but there's increase in content and concentration. So that is the corresponds to the luxury consumption stage of our observation here. So we can then, you know, contrast what we are looking at here with our traditional growth response curve, and at that point it begins to make sense. But then let's go to the extremes where you have concentration or accumulation of nutrients, and in this case this is brought about by a decrease in growth, okay, that's negative growth, but increase in nutrient concentration and without a corresponding increase in nutrient content. So you have excess. So this excess accumulation can get to a point where it becomes toxic. I wouldn't feel very comfortable calling it toxic, but we say unfavorable concentration. And this unfavorable concentration can get to a point of antagonism where if the concentration, you know, continue to increase, and opposite element might be antagonized, and that is where we have the F vector. Okay, having looked at that, we look at my observation. And so I use the low nutrient, micronutrient concentration treatment as my control, and then I normalize it to 100. And comparing that treatment to the optimum concentration, and with the Stana, okay, Stana is the 135, and the low in terms of, this is the dry weight, and this is the dry weight for the optimum agro. So with that reference, I find that, okay, the elements, magnesium and phosphorus, are in the A range, and the A range being dilution effect. And then I have K, potassium, being close to being on the sufficiency range. The only elements that exhibit deficiency due to growth, because growth is increasing, nutrient concentration is increasing, but not significantly as fast. And the magnitude of deficiency of potassium is more than that of nitrogen. With the agrocomplete, we have very minimum change, because the magnitude of the change here is not significant. But when we look at P, there is a tendency that its concentration is tending towards an excess, you know, the antagonism range. Then we look at the micronutrients. Okay, the agro complete optimum being the open symbols, and the standard being the shaded symbols again. The most responsive element in this case being zinc, which is the deficiency shows there. And iron is also deficient, that is the C range. And we have copper and aluminum, which is not an essential element, being at a steady state. They are at the sufficiency range. Now, with agrocomplete, we have almost a luxury consumption stage, i.e. no change in growth for zinc. And then for manganese, we have a tendency towards excess, that is E. As a result of the reduction in dry mass, there is an accumulation that's going on there. Okay. By way of looking at summarizing everything that we just looked at, we can say that the composition of the hydroponic nutrient solution source influence both the marketable yield and the dry weight of colas, and that the micronutrient stress decreased yield, leaf yield, and tissue macronutrient concentration, but not the dry weight. Evaluation of crop growth responses to arginine nitrogen in other hydroponic systems beside the ebb and flow may lend further support to the findings of this study. The vector diagnosis approach to interpreting plant nutrient disorders can detect nutrient interactions of colas in hydroponic culture and may be an appropriate tool for comparing crop nutrient management options. I have included references here for anybody that may be interested in this, since this is a recorded presentation. It will be available in the future and for further exploration. My work is supported by the USDA NIFA Evan Allen Grant to Lincoln University of Missouri in Jefferson City. I would take... there is no time for me to take questions, but I will hang around, okay, for anybody that has questions on this presentation. Thank you for coming.